Welcome back to the Mission Podcast, episode 5. I'm once again holding my microphone today because I haven't got anywhere to put it, but hopefully you can hear me. Andy, I'm sure you can hear me. You might be able to see me once my camera focuses in, but you've got something in your ears today
that should hopefully make it any better. I've got some headphones, Matt, because last week when we thought we'd got it all right, even though, as you can see, I'm still not moved house and you're in between houses, so it's not ideal. But last week it was mentioned that there was some reverb or something coming back from my speakers, coming back through my microphone. So it's great. It's like every week we find something else that we've done wrong. So I've got the microphone a little bit higher. I've been told that it's right there in front of me, and I've got headphones in so that when you speak, it won't come back through my microphone, hopefully.
Have you got it plugged in, though? Remember the first week?
It's plugged in. The light is on. I can hear you in my headphones. You're holding your mic. I think we're good to go.
I did see a comment last week as well saying, could Andy do it somewhere else because his acoustics aren't very good? So I don't know whether you can address that comment and maybe just like move house to somewhere a bit more soundproof.
Yeah, so the problem is I'm in a completely empty room. So you're right, I can almost hear my own voice echoing. So I'm sorry about that, guys. As soon as I should have moved this week, and this should be now in my new house, but we all know what happens with moving house. Something went wrong at the last minute, so I'm still here. Hopefully I'll have moved next week, but who knows? So yeah, the little bit of echo there isn't me and Matt not knowing to do with our microphones. It's literally the fact I'm in a room with one moving box and a computer. That's it.
I mean, let's not brush over that fact. We don't know what to do with our microphones.
We've worked out how to plug them in. That's about it, mate.
I get this comment all the time, like on my own channel, like people going, oh, you need better cameras or better sound. I've got the best sound equipment going. I just don't know what to do with it. It's not the equipment. It's the knowledge of, like, look at when we did that, when we did the One Where Was Together episode 2, and Andy used the same camera and the same sound system. And I'm like, how has he made it look like that? Like, that looks so good. Like, and he's used totally the same equipment.
Totally different. Just change one or two settings that are like, we're like, what are they for?
I mean, you're looking a little bit bright today. So all we'll do is just turn the autofocus and auto bright down a little bit. And problem solved.
That's it. Problem solved. Yeah, no, there's actually some sunshine coming through the window, which is weird because I've got like a fleecy top on. It feels like summer and winter today. It's cold, but the sun's out.
You know what that means? We're getting close to world championship season.
Oh, we are indeed. I can't think of anybody that's qualified. Anyway, we did that last week. So moving on. Rate My Hockey, Matt. It's launched.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Not because I was in it, not because it's our concept and our baby as such, and hopefully going to be the flagship of this channel, but because it was just an easy, enjoyable watch in regards to the increase, and what an increase it was in regard to the production values.
Yeah, I thought you were going to mention that. And that's been mentioned a lot in the comments. We've had a few people saying, oh, thank God. And a few people saying, oh, great effort, guys. You know, and you know, people's just saying, yeah, well done. The production's way better. It's much easier to watch. You two are the same, but the production's now just so much better. So, yeah, that's really good. And it's only going to keep getting better because, of course, Andy, the guy who's doing our videography and editing, he's new to this. You know, well, I don't mean he's new to videoing and editing, but he's new to working with us. So our quirks and things, each video, I think, will get a little bit better and different angles. I just think that the future's bright now, as is my face from the sunshine.
What better time to subscribe to the Mission channel? This is the time now. Things are going to be getting much more improved. And do you know what? I know we normally like to leave comments a bit late, but while we're on Rate My Hockey, I pulled some comments off.
Rate My Hockey. Do it early, yeah. Go for it.
We should discuss while we're on topic. Now,
all right.
Full disclosure, as Andy already knows, I hate reading. So when it comes to reading, you have to send me things in bullet points or expect that I'm going to send it to somebody else who's going to give me a summary in bullet points. Now, I'm also the same with writing. So although I've got some of the comments off, they're not going to be word for word like you did last week where you reeled them off. You even said an emoji. You even said it, oh, this emoji and that emoji. Yeah. This is going to be a little bit more summarized. So if I do read your comments...
All right, Anchor version.
Yeah, word for word. Also, don't expect I'm going to read the name out very well. When I was a teacher, I used to get the children to do the register. So,
okay.
So we've got Jahui. Jahu. Hopefully you know who you are. You certainly will know from the comment here. Says, hope Harsh Andy ain't so harsh anymore.
Did he write that before he watched it?
I mean, he wasn't in episode one. He was two. But maybe I can tell you now, if you don't like Harsh Andy, you're going to hate series two. Because he gets quite harsh in some of these places.
Well, you know, it was series two, Matt. So for me, in my head, everybody had to up the game. I know that's not really fair on them, but they were all recommended venues for us. So I'm going there expecting tens in everything. And it wasn't always that way, was it?
No, there was a few of, I mean, some of the things are hypercritical that's going to come up in the series. But do you know what I see by the end of this series? I see a line of T-shirts where we're going to have I'm with Harsh Andy or Harsh Andy out. And I reckon if you sold them, you would sell 50-50. Like some people would be like, I'm with Harsh Andy, absolutely. And some would be like, he needs to pack it in.
Yeah, I noticed one comment on the first Ray Maoki this week, which I think got 80 or 81. I mean, that's a really good score in my head. Sort of saying, oh, you're too critical, it's not good for the venues and this, that and the other. And, well, I remember going in series one somewhere and being critical and harsh about the lighting.
Spot on.
Next minute, we get an email. Come back anytime, guys. We've taken your advice. We've changed the lighting. We've put all new Mission 270s in. The locals love it. They think it's brilliant. So it's not that we're trying to be detrimental or play places down, but if they can go, do you know what? Actually, maybe they've got a point. Maybe Andy's got a point. Maybe he wasn't a three, it was a six, but, you know, what can we do about it to make it better? So hopefully some people will go, yeah, okay. We, you know, I know we went somewhere where the boards were low and they, again, contacted us to say, we've remeasured them, you know, that we've got them right. So thanks for that kind of thing. So we're not going out to overly harm these places. If anything, look, if people are talking about your venue for whatever reason, that's good advertising.
Well, let's not even undersell this, because as a brand, not only have we left them goodies, where we've left them new house starts because the house starts aren't good enough. The board weren't very good, so we left them a new board. The lighting were bad, so we left them a light or a surround. And we've left them things to help these venues, which is celebrating the venues. Absolutely. Some of these have even had further help from Mission. When they've had 12, 14 boards, we've supplied them with equipment for 12 and 14 boards. So we're basically trying to make it sustainable for people.
We are. And also, look, it's a compliment. If we're coming to your venue to rate it, it's a compliment. We're not walking into the local boozer on the corner that's got one board in a corner somewhere that Uncle Fred plays on a Thursday night, hasn't been turned in 20 years. That's not what this series is now. Yeah, well, it never really was anyway, but we're going to venues that people are recommending, you know, and there's a reason why they're being recommended. So we have to be a little bit critical. Well, and that's...
You say that's not what this is.
My job.
Or this series. But I've actually wrote down suggestions for future series. And I thought maybe I'll bring it now. This would be a good time.
Okay.
So, one we spoke about before, which I do get your issue, potentially, is Rate My Hockey Series Super League Edition. What do people do as
Super League?
So with that, we'd need people to set up the venue as if it was a Super League night. But how about this one? Rate My Hockey League Edition. Because one thing we don't do, like you say, we don't go to the Duck on the Pond. with the dartboard over the fireplace. Maybe what we need is a new 10-set criteria, and we'll go and look at league venues. Who has the best league night?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, yeah, there should be a few fighting for that trophy, because I can think in the past of a couple of places that I used to go where you kind of went, oh, what week are we playing the Red Lion? Oh, yeah, week six. Oh, I'm not missing that. Because they've got three boards to throw. I love the throw. They've got two practice boards in the other room. You know, the bar's great and it's great.
And they give you a lasagna afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. As opposed to 2 days old sandwiches. You know, it's like, oh, cheese and onion, food's good. Yeah, yeah, no. Do you know what? It just reminded me of a place. And I can't think what it is now, sadly. But very quick story. Middle of nowhere. Thursday night darts league, somewhere over Yorkshire Way, something like that. And at 10 o'clock every night, this pub serves pizzas and kebabs in the pub. So you've had a few drinks, you've been playing darts all night, and you're about to go. You don't need to go and find the high street. Well, there isn't a high street, it's the middle of nowhere. Pizzas and kebabs, like it was like $4.95 a pizza, $3.95 a kebab. And I thought, that is genius. So everybody look forward to that week.
We went to a Rate My Hockey in Series 2, as you're going to find out, that had a Chinese
in the venue. Yeah, coming soon.
Full Chinese with seats and everything. So, yeah, absolutely. And how about this one, right? You've played county darts before, haven't you?
I have.
So you know some venues are great and some are
the best county, clearly, the Lancashire.
So how about Rate My Hockey County Stages?
Oh, blimey.
Because we've talked about stages, we've played on stages. In Rate My Hockey, we're looking at stages at times. What about doing an actual series on the county stages? What's the lighting like? What's the backboard like? Is it still marker pen? Do they have chalkers on stage? Where's the practice boards?
You know what's coming through here right now? They're all a long distance apart. So we can only do one in a day.
See,
so you're blowing the budget yet again. You're blowing the budget, Matt.
See, my guess, when you said, do you know what's going through here? I was thinking, or just some whistling wind.
Yeah, to be fair, if you're listening to this on the podcast in the car or something, you can't actually see that. I was pointing at my head then. That's what Matt's referring to. But I think we should
We'll get a bigger budget. And what we'll do, we'll just get more subscribers. So we'll get a bigger budget.
Exactly.
And obviously but that's one comment so far.
Anything else?
One of them from Romartino says, great video. You need to visit 25 Ball. It's a top setup. Now, the thing with that is we are always open to visit new venues. All these venues we go to are suggestions. Get in touch at YouTube at missiondarts.com. Let us know where we should go and we'll go.
Yeah. We've already started planning our next trip, haven't we? We've already started planning our next trip, like series 3 or 4 potentially. So yeah, that's how far ahead we're planning. We've got lots on the list, but always open to new ones. So yeah. And don't forget, you know, we have mentioned in the past, if you've got an amazing hockey at home, if you built a man cave, let us know that as well. Drop it in YouTube at missiondarts.com. Let us know, and you never know, we might even pay you a visit personally.
Well, we've already visited 3 homes. We will be visiting more, and that is a series that will be coming soon. So you get to see all those amazing man caves and house decorations that people are putting for their dart rooms. Jack Wincott 1066 loves the new series. This is where I've abbreviated it, by the way, because I've just got new series, love the tune.
Oh, the tune.
The Rate My Hockey song.
Yeah, where's that come from? Yeah, our Rate My Hockey song has come from our video guy Andy's, some of his friends have got a band and have put it together for us. So, I'm gutted now. I feel terrible that I don't know the name of the band, because we should be giving them a shout out. So maybe we'll do that at a later edition. unless you're going to go, I knew it is, but I know you
always shouldn't have been prepared for that possibility.
Well, I wasn't prepared for that question, but yeah, no, real big shout out to them. Thank you very much for that, guys. We got our own song. Amazing.
What about a Matt and Andy darts Christmas song?
Oh my God. See, you see, there's always a line that you have to cross, isn't there? You know, I can just see us now doing Chaz and Dave, you know, instead of snooker loopy, it'd be darts loopy or something. I don't know.
I think I said new loopy, didn't we? So,
yeah, I mean, you know, a couple of San Miguel's at one of these Rate My Hockeys and you might get me on the karaoke, but yeah.
I've seen you on the karaoke. I follow.
Yeah.
We've seen it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
We'll skim over very that story good. Really quick because it does end.
Yeah, quite let's get over that story really, really quick. We'll save that for another day.
Mark Billery, 8923, says loves the series and the improved quality. Something we already touched on, but wow, what a step up! Everything from the framing to the no static camera all the time where we had before.
The sound, lighting, using exactly the same mics that we used for the whole time, and yet now they sound completely different, and it comes out of both channels, and it's just so relieving to us to be able to concentrate on stuff instead of that sort of stuff. So
I'm laughing because not only does the sound better, but if you remember the dead cats that go on the microphones. They were blowing off all the time when we used them. We're like, we can't get them.
I've never heard them called dead cats.
Yeah, that's what you call.
Is that the, what they're actually called? Those furry things that fit on microphones are called dead cats.
To stop the wind. Yeah. So.
I see all the cat lovers at home now going, they're not called that. Sure. You see, the problem is, Matt, I've known you long enough now that I never know whether you're actually winding me up or not. It really isn't that. You're just... Oh, God, dead cats. I'm never going to forget that now, am I?
Oh, anyway.
Any others?
Reviews. So, I've actually looked at his channel. He's reviewed one thing so far, which was the £1 burger in Blackpool.
Okay.
So, it was about 37 seconds long, the video. So,
okay.
GOG reviews. First of all, we need to go do the £1 burger, absolutely. I don't know how we're going to incorporate that into a mission video or whatever, but I'm sure we could find a way. I've abbreviated his whole two paragraphs into four 2-word sentences.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to write the whole thing down. So, not a fan, plain harsh, should be celebrating small errors. So just to fill that together for you, what he was saying was he's not a fan of the series. He thinks it's harsh. We should be celebrating the venues, not pointing out small errors. This is the one I think you was talking about where...
Why is he watching it then? Why is he watching the series if he's not a fan?
Oh, I've got a better one than that, right? This is my favourite. This one's my favourite. Terry Alley. But I can't watch this series anymore. It's plain harsh, and he goes on a bit of a rant. So just to...
Turn it off, then.
I've got an even better way of... Listen to this, right, as a way of doing it. So he's got, I can't watch this series anymore because this, that, the other. So he's gone to a video he doesn't want to watch. He's clicked on a video just to tell us he doesn't want to watch it.
That's a cracker, isn't it? That's really good, though.
When you think about it in layman's terms like that, you've gone to a video you don't want to watch to tell the creator you don't want to watch it. Just don't watch
it. That's like going in a restaurant, ordering food you know you don't like, then eating it and saying, I don't like it.
It's even worse than that. That's like going into a restaurant and like not ordering something, going, I don't want to order it, I don't like it. Well, why are you sat here? There was a comedian a few years ago who talked about this. Remember what would happen in the olden days? Like, if you had a trampoline or a bouncy castle or something, you wanted to sell it, you'd put an ad in the shop window. or you put an ad in the local Tesco or something. The comedian did it perfectly. He says, the social media is you turn up and then you ring up all the ads like, I don't even want a trampoline. Why are you putting the trampoline? Like, you don't have to have, you don't have to. It's there for people that want the trampoline, not the people that don't want the trampoline. So, I very much thought that was funny. A funny one. And Timo watches everything, says he loves the increase in the production, and it's good to see the same tandem back, which is myself and you, Andy. And I dare say the dynamic does, as this series goes on, because like we filmed these all across just over a week. And as the week went on and your tiredness went up and your harshness went up, I think. But then there was one venue, wasn't there, that was just, it was so good, but scored so bad.
And you I tell you what, I can't wait to see that. That's just going to be, I don't know what episode number it is, but that venue.
Well, let's hope Terry Alley doesn't watch that
like,
one.
Like, how can you walk into a venue that you think's going to be a 10 for everything because you just love it, and then it's like a 5 for everything because it just got everything wrong?
I don't think you gave it a 5.
Oh, mate, that's a really good one that's come out. Anyway, that's enough about Rate My Hockey, because we will go on about it every week because it's our baby and we love it and we know that you love it. So keep watching it. Make sure you subscribe and you don't miss an episode. 7 p.m.
Thumbs up on it.
Every Wednesday. Thumbs up, subscribe, 7 p.m. every Wednesday. Right, what have I been doing this week, Matt? So other than thinking I was moving house and then I didn't, I found out like 12 hours in advance because it's good like that. So I found myself with a bit of time on my hands one evening, flicking through YouTube, as you do, looking at dart stuff, as you do, and ended up watching, in its entirety, Phil Taylor versus Mike Gregory. I don't know why. See, now I know you're winding me up. And I nearly bet then. I really nearly bet.
You paused.
Yeah, I ended up, I thought, oh, I'll just put this on for 10 minutes. I ended up watching the entire thing. One of those where, even though I knew the result, obviously, I still thought Mike was going to win. Because he just like, and I thought, wow, isn't this just the most, you know, a great advert for YouTube in that somebody that's into darts like me can just put that on and lose himself for an hour watching something that's over 30 years ago and was just a piece of history. I mean, that was just an amazing game that I'm sure had Mike won would have changed his life, really. And I'm sure it did anyway, but almost like the Della effect. You know, Della doesn't beat Bristow. Is his life the same afterwards? I don't think so. Whereas now he just signs Della 138.
You've led me to a great topic here.
Oh, okay.
You've led me to a great topic. And do you know what? From the podcasts I watch, I like the ones that are very thought-provoking and get you to think about something and get you to... There's one where they talk about snail chasing you around the world and things like that. It's probably well beyond... you won't lower yourself to that level of intelligence. But here's one for you. If you could change, and I'm going to throw this at you, and it's probably going to be the wrong time to do so because you have no time to prepare for this. If you could change one game, one result in history that could have changed darts as we know it, what result do you think you could change? Let us know in the comments section as well if you're watching this on YouTube or wherever you're watching it. Please do interact. If you could change one game in history of darts that could potentially change everything, what would it be? And for me, I'm going to go with I don't know which way around to do this. I'm going to go with Kirk Shepherd beating John Palm.
Oh, wow. Wow, yeah. Wow.
I think that would have really changed because we'd had a debutant world champion, a young debutant world champion. Would that have sparked things such as what we're seeing now with Luke Littler? Would that spark that earlier? Yeah. You know, so wow. I think that could be the one result that could have changed things all those years ago.
So I'm totally not prepared for this question. And as you know me by now, as we'll learn about each other, the weirdest stuff comes into my head ever.
Oh, here we go.
And do you know what? So, and this is actually quite recent. I was going to say it's within the last 3 years. And it probably wouldn't have changed. So I'm going totally off topic, but it's just come in my head. Paul Lim, at age 60-something, missing double 12 on the PDC stage against Gary Anderson for what would have been his second televised nine darter 30 years on since his BDO one. Yeah. I wanted that dart to go in so much. I don't think you could meet a more likable guy.
Yeah.
For him to still be playing that level into his mid-60s is incredible. And for just the fact that I remember the first one, for him to have done it again would have just almost had it. You can imagine that's on the front news of the newspapers the next day.
Yeah,
almost like, you know, I'm a golfer, as you know, it's almost like Jack Nicklaus turning up now at age 70 and winning a tournament. He'd be like, what? That's mental. That cannot happen.
Oh, I've got another one for you.
That's just the one that came in my head.
Ted Evarts beats Fallon Sherrick at the World Championship. Do we have a women's series?
Yeah.
Yes, do we have women's qualifiers for Grand Slam? Do we have women's qualifiers for the World Championship? Does all that happen if Ted Evarts wins that game? We might still have the qualifier, but would we have a whole women's series now? So that's a thought-provoking one.
It is, and we were only talking about this at Mission the other day about, you know, impacts into darts and Luke Littler this year, clearly, and Fallon. Not last year, year before, clearly a big impact. You see people talking about it, and obviously, so, you know, we've had the ladies, now we've got the youth, you know, like I say, what's next? What's next? Does Steve Dean qualify for the World Championship and win it? You know, I mean, it's like, what other crazy thing could happen in the world of darts?
There's another one, isn't there? Christian Kist isn't injured going into the World Championship. He carries on playing the way he was. He beats Luke Littler in round one, and no one bats an eyelid. It doesn't happen. The run doesn't happen. All the extra eyes on the product, all the extra celebrity endorsements, all the travel, all the things that have come off the back of that run from Luke Littler doesn't happen, and no one knows any different. A game that could have changed the face?
Yeah, I mean, look, his talent is unquestionable, so I think he still comes through. And it's a bit like we spoke about last week about Van Gerwen, when he burst onto the scene. Nine darter, wins the Masters, was it, or whatever he did. And then, whoa, where's he gone? He's hanging around 30th in the world, not really doing anything for two or three years. And then, and then boom, the MVG years. So, yeah, it's funny, isn't it, how there's little things, there's little moments. Andy Cornwell on stage playing John Bowles, the one and only time, UK Open, first round. I take out 1-2-4 on the bull to make it 3-3. Who knows? They're going to win that game. I end up last 16, last 8. It changes my life. I don't know. And my life was changed because of external factors with regards to darts, and I didn't take it up until I was too old anyway. But John Bowles actually won that and did actually have a tour card for a couple of years and did okay. There's always little points, isn't it? There's always little things. By the way, in that last leg, he kicks off 180. I thought 1-2-4, I'll give it, get in. He kicks off with a 180. I'm like, well, thanks. You know, thanks for that. Anyway, but there's always little things, isn't it? I reckon if we thought about this question, if we were prepared, I bet we could find moments. Right, I've got another one. MVG missing double 12 for back-to-back.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe what we need to do with this question is open it out to our viewers, and then we'll come back next week a bit more prepared. We'll share some of the ones the viewers have come up with. We'll discuss those and the impact they could have had, and then we'll come up with our real big one. because it was the, when you started talking about the UK Open, it reminded me of my story. The years I nearly gave it all up, 2014. So in 2014, I nearly walked away because of ultimate disappointment. So in them days, there was a Grand Slam qualifier, 256 players, and you played through to a wild card winner. I got to the final, played all day, and I lost in the final. So I missed out on the Grand Slam of darts. A week later was the World Championship qualifier. I lost in the final.
God.
1 week losing two finals, replacing the Grand Slam and the World Championships, that at that period of time would have changed my life.
Yeah, the ranking money and everything else.
And I was like, I don't know if I can recover from this mentally, because this.
It is. And right, while we're on the subject, then let's talk about the women's series, because where did last weekend's results come from? What happened to Bo? Nobody saw that coming. Fantastic for our girl, Robin Byrne. Well done, mission player. Won a women's series. Delighted for her. Lovely girl. Great player. But Bo not doing anything all weekend?
I think this is a sign of the times. We've spoken about the women's series before and women's darts before. And I think now there's depth emerging in regards to the women's game. So before, it used to be just Trina, and then we're talking about banker people like Trina, Dita, Anastasia. There was Lisa Ashton, then comes into the fold, Eileen de Graaf. And now we're looking even deeper with younger players. You know, we've got Ruby, we've got Paige Pauling. Gemma Hayter's come back to the game and is absolutely flying around. A great time at the Super Series, beating Steve West, beating Kieran Tehan, ex-tour card holder, beating Richard Rowlands, who's won a seniors event, beating established players. And this is a player that's not been playing darts again too long, averaging high 80s.
Yeah.
Could be someone we're talking about as dethroning Bo temporarily. And so then you've got, obviously, Bo, Fallon, you know, there's so many now that, I mean, when the women's series started, it was the Lisa Ashton, Fallon Sherrick show. Who wins it this week? And that was all it was. It was the Lisa and Fallon show.
Yeah, it was.
And now it's a tour. Now it's a
it is a tour. And it's getting more interesting to see the results and people that are challenging. And very, very interesting. I've got to be honest, I was watching more of the Eurotour. Chizzy again? Like he wins Euro tours, like we have hot dinners. Is it like 5 in 2 years, I think it is, or something?
I don't know. I spent the week with you, Andy. I think you have a few more hot dinners than you're letting
on. Oh, I don't know. We won't get on to food. But do you know who's we talk about events and everybody gets something different out of the event. What stood out for me at that event, Van Dijsselbloem back playing proper darts. Got over the injury. We can talk about yours in a sec if you like, because I've never had an injury, so I don't know what it's like, but he must have been out for a good 12 months since I'd last seen him and thought, yeah, he looks good. I think he beat Luke Little. Did he beat Luke Little?
6-2, I think it was.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah, and I'd seen the previous game and I thought, he can beat Luke Little. He looks back. When he starts hitting that treble 20 mile, he's a big scorer. So I was like, oh, maybe he's finally over his injury. You know, and I don't know, I've never asked you, will you ever get over yours, or is he managing it? Is there no way of fixing it?
There are ways to get over it. I don't think mentally you ever do. You always feel like there's something wrong. I think that's the issue. That's why Dirk's so strong to be doing what he's doing. The strength he's got is incredible. And when
anybody that can come onto that walk-on music's got to be strong, haven't they?
Oh, you need to be. I've shared a car with him for 4.5 hours. It was torture. So probably the worst car journey of my life. Went from Germany to Holland, 4.5 hours. It was horrific. So
raving in the car.
Oh, unbelievable. It was horrible. Horrible. But just goes to show in sport how much changes so quick, because we're now in September, where when the Masters came round at the start of the year, just 7 months or so ago, that Ryan Searle played Dirk van Dijvenbode, and everyone had that down as an absolute walkover for Ryan Searle. It was how much you're going to win by. I do a little bit of work with bookies and tipsters and things like that. And all the tipsters and all the experts and all the data and everyone I work with in that industry was all looking at handicap markets of how much Ryan will win by, not will Ryan win. It was how much will Ryan Searle beat Dirk by. That was the question. Okay. And now you look at him and he's a contender again for actually going deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a turnaround.
Fantastic. And good to see, because I like him. He's entertaining. He's good for the tour. He's entertaining to watch. But while we're on injuries, about Nathan Aspinall's had to pull
it
out.
It was always coming. It was always coming. The problem is, he had an injury and he didn't take the time required. And this is where darts, I don't know how they fix it, but it needs fixing, in the sense of you have to turn up, you have to play. And the only thing you're going to do is drop down the rankings if you don't. So if you're hurt, you go anyway. I did. I was hurt. I was suffering. I was struggling. But I still went because I needed the points to keep my card. And I was always just above the cutoff of the card. I never had the luxury of being able to miss anything. So,
yeah.
All I did was cause damage that was not able to go. And he was trying to keep in the top of the rankings. And, you know, so with that, I think there's, I don't know how you fix it. I'm not clever enough to work that out. Because I think we can manipulate it.
It's in the transition stage, Matt, where darts is booming so much that you look at the tour calendar and it is crazy full. Mm. I mean, it's traveling takes a toll on you. All the flights, all the sleeping away from home, all that. You're playing 6, 7, 8 hours in a day and it takes a toll. And yet the tour is so stacked. Funnily enough, people look at it different ways. And somebody said to me the other day, they were like, why are these players getting injured now? When Bristow and Lowe were playing, nobody ever got injured. And they were drinking pints and smoking cigarettes. I'm like, yeah, and they were playing 4 tournaments a year. Yeah. But like now they're playing 40. It's like, that's the difference. It's not that they're way fitter now. They're much fitter now than what they were then. They're much, not everybody, but people started looking after themselves and watching what they eat and eat at the right time, not drinking and blah, 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 blah. But it's the toll of playing every single week. And it doesn't matter what sport, you know, it doesn't have to be rugby. The fact is, I've been there, and that travelling, staying in weird rooms, beds where you've not slept very well, and you're up, and then you're playing for 8 hours, and maybe the venue, the food's not right, and it's hard. It is hard, Matt, so I don't need to tell you. So.
Oh, God, yeah. I think it's one of the things you don't appreciate fully unless you've kind of experienced it as well, to know how tricky it actually is.
Mm. Yeah, I think so. So, wish him well. Wish Nathan well. Everybody wants to see Nathan back. And hopefully we'll be in time for, there's a lot, like you said last week, it's dart season now. All the big tournaments are coming. You know, so like you say, he won't want to miss those ranking tournaments. He really won't. So good luck to him. What else was on at the weekend? Oh, I want to touch on the Noah van Leeuwen, is it?
Noah Lynn van Leeuwen.
Ah, there you go. I knew you'd know the name much, much, much better than me. Qualified now for the Worlds?
Ali Pali, so, yeah. Yeah.
Ali Pali. Yeah, so I heard there's been a bit of a stance from the WDF. Can you touch more on what do you know about it? Because I'm not on the tour anymore, so I kind of miss out on all that stuff.
It's hard, really, to, like, this goes well beyond my understandings. Like, I'm ignorant. Yeah. You know, something I've not researched, something I don't know too much about. I'm very ignorant to it. I try and read what I can, but I tend to find a lot of what I'm reading is opinion. And with that, it makes it really
difficult. That's not helpful, really.
No. And
there doesn't seem to be There doesn't seem to be a stance from the international bodies. You've got the Olympics committees going, 1 minute it's okay, the next minute it's not. And you've got athletics going, 1 minute it's okay, the next minute it's not. And then you're like, right, okay, so darts is the next that's going to come under scrutiny. And I know the WDF have said anybody refusing to play would be disciplined or this, that, and the other. And that led me to ponder this question, because you're playing on the WDF. So if you draw me in a WDF tournament and you go, actually, do you know what? I can't be bothered. I want to go home for my tea. Sorry, mate, I'm off. And you pull out and I go, oh, he's giving the game, mate. He's had to go. Would you be disciplined?
I don't think so, no.
So that's my pondering question. You can't, if somebody's pulling out for whatever their reasons may be, they don't want to play a trans or personal war, whatever it is, it can't be different. You can't just make up different ways to pull out. Oh, it's all right if you pull out because you've got to go in for tea, or it's all right if you pull out because your missus is wrong and the house is on fire, or it's got to be, I'm sorry, but if you pull out of games, you're being disciplined. The minute you give it a reason, that's where all these opinions will come, and that's where it will become worse. So I think, like I say, I can freely talk about it because I'm not on that circuit anymore. I know you are, but yeah, I think just a bit more clarity. Let's have a bit more clarity about what you can and you can't do. What are the rules? What can you do? What can't you do? What are the reasons, etc. So I just wanted to touch on that and then totally change subject, if that's all right, and go with my, it's more as my Andy to Matt's question of the week. What happened to Jan Dekker? So I know I've just thrown that straight at you. The greatest nickname ever, the coat. Actually remember him coming on wearing a white blazer and just thought, this is brilliant. What on earth happened to him? I'm not saying he was ever going to be a world beater, but he was around playing on TV a fair amount. You're going to say something now like he's ever great.
Do you remember when the UK had Jolly Ranchers?
No.
No. We used to have we had Jolly Ranchers, we had Nerds, we had Mountain Dew. We had all these things that like American sweets and drinks and things over here. And now we don't do it. We've got to import them separately.
What's this got to do with Jan Dekker?
I thought we were just having random thoughts. Like, I was just joining in.
That just about sums you right up there. Honestly, spending a week away with you, the Edgarisms. Oh,
yeah, but we do have to import Jolly Ranchers now if you want Jolly Ranchers.
I was listening to you so intensely then. I was listening to you thinking, what is the link between sweets and Jan Dekker? But no, you've just totally gone on. So I'll take you from that. You haven't got a clue.
I tell you what, I had one of my best ever games against Jan Dekker and lost. So I played him in Milton Keynes. It was 6-5 on the Pro Tour. I think I averaged 107 and lost. He averaged 111. 6-5, first round. And then he went lost second round, like 82 average. I was like, are you kidding me? Should never look. Never look.
No, you shouldn't. No. So wish you well, Jan, wherever you are, whatever you do. Maybe he's a gardener now, or he's, I don't know, he's playing professional hockey, or he's, I don't know, he's joining
selling Jolly Ranchers.
Just imagine if we look it up and he's a sweets importer. I mean, sorry guys, that's people listening must think, if you're listening for the first time today and you've just jumped to this section, you're probably wondering what on earth are these two people rambling on about. But it's normal Andy and Matt banter this. So, yeah. Subscribe, because it'll be the same next week.
We need a behind-the-scenes cam when we do these trips. Like,
oh, dear.
I think that's better than the content we make sometimes. Some of the rubbish that comes out.
Yeah. So you've had me pondering, Matt. You've had me pondering you'd like to throw a question at me every week. So I've got one ready for you this week. All right. So I'm going to give you top three. And I want you to give me, and I'm talking PDC, by the way.
Yeah.
So top three players on the PDC that have never won a TV major. So I'm not counting Euro Tours. It's got to be okay. Match Play, Worlds, Grand Prix, Grand Slam, UK Open, Players Champs. Yeah.
Well, I always believe never won a in major. Listening to your gut and instant reaction.
You always do. That's why we end up in the restaurant and takeaways all flipping time.
All different bits.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Instantly, there's one name that came to my mind, and I can see him clearly in my head wearing his yellow shirt, Dave Chisnell.
Okay, he's on my list.
Yeah, he has to be. Ability-wise, has to be. So, Chizzy. Hasn't won... is it current player or anytime PDC player?
No, anytime on the PDC.
I think I'd have to go with Edgar. I thought he had a lot of ability.
I didn't say best player never to have got to a TV semi. I said to have won.
Yeah, I thought he had a lot of ability. Good-looking guy. Very charismatic. Would have been great for darts if he won one, you know. But
would have been great. Yeah. Come on, give me a second.
I reckon
you've got
Terry
Jenkins. My second one.
You've got Terry Jenkins on the list.
Correct. I have got Terry Jenkins.
Yeah, I thought you would. Never to win a PDC. There's going to be a curveball in there that we've not thought about. Like, for example, like we can get really tricky with this and say, well, Martin Adams were a PDC player at one point because he got to the World Match Play semi-final.
Yeah, he was only there for a year. So
you can get really sort of technical with that, and I'm sure someone will. They'll be like, oh, well, this player played once there. Never to win a TV major. Have a think through time.
I mean, currently, you currently...
Oh, I've got again. One. I've got one.
Okay.
Now, I don't think you're going to have gone with this one because normally when you ask this question, what people think is they think elite performers, like Dave Chisnell, 100 average all the time for fun. They think of those big hitters. I'm going to go with one now that should be on the list, but I don't think is. Mervyn King.
Wasn't on my list, but a great shout. I had a couple that sort of were, it's a great shout that weren't on the list, and that was Steve Beaton and Ian White.
Okay.
Hung around that top echelon for a long time without Chizzy and Jenkins for me are the number one and two. I can't think of anybody that should be in the positions better than those two. And then you kind of look at you know, sort of modern day players like Joe Cullen. Now, I think he won the Masters or do you win the Premier League?
He's won Masters, yeah.
But I don't think we're classing the Masters as a TV major just because you can't qualify for it. It's an invitational. So that's like winning the World Series. It's invitational. I've never been a fan of going, oh, a bit like the Grand Slam used to be. Grand Slam was invitational and was non-ranking, wasn't it?
Well, I'm just looking literally at the list of modern-day players. I think, depending how time evolves with this, I think Damon Hetter, Ryan Searle are possibly going to be added to that sort of list of contenders, big hitters.
It's a bit early for them, isn't it?
But yeah, longevity's a big part of it for me.
Yeah, well... Steve
which, in that case... Vincent van der Voort is an interesting thought. Been around a long, long time, always a capable guy, but never puts it together.
Has he ever made a major final? I don't think he has.
I think he made the UK Open, didn't he? I'm sure he made the UK Open. I'm literally on my laptop.
That's coming out there. But again, get in the comments below, guys, and tell us, who do you think... We'll give you the third choice. So we'll go with Chizzy. We'll go with Terry Jenkins. Okay, so we'll go with Chizzy, we'll go with Terry Jenkins. Who do you think, get in the comments below, is the best player to have never won a PDC TV major?
Let us know. When you look at it, he is a bit understated, because when you hear that straight away, you think, nah. But when you put it this way, UK Open runner-up, World Championship, World Match Play, World Grand Prix, European Championship, and the Masters with quarterfinals, semi-final of the Players' Championship finals. He's played in all the events. BDO World's quarters was his best. He's won 3 Players' Championship events, 1 European Tour, UK Open qualifiers, so that's basically a Players' Championship event. 7 WDF titles, including European Cup and World Cup pairs. So he's maybe not, we're not looking at someone who should be too far down the list.
And I'll give you my best BDO one if you want straight away, because it's undisputed.
You're going to say Tony O'Shea.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's it. There you go. So you knew what I was thinking, so it has to be Tony, doesn't it? So.
Good job we haven't got Darryl Fitton. There you go. He might have disagreed.
Stats speak for themselves. How many finals?
Yeah, exactly.
Which I love Darryl. Darryl, for me, probably most underrated player, because I tell you what, anybody that can hit a 180 on them little trebles that we had him do is still a great player now. And again, longevity. How long's Darryl been playing? A long time. Long, long time. In fact, I showed him the other day a picture of, I think, when he was in the BDO Worlds in the 80s. You don't even recognise him.
Right.
So that was good. Yeah, no, that was good, Matt. And I'm glad that we agree. We agree on lots of things on the podcast. Yeah, Terry, it has to be Dave Chisnell, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The question
just kind of off camera, we don't agree on things.
Yeah, so we people ask this about golf players and that now. So we've said Chizzy just won the Euro Tour this week. We've talked about him already. Best player not to win a TV major. So now you're putting your money on the line. Does he win one? Or does he retire having never won one? Because he'll still be, I want to say, late 30s.
Let's have a look.
Look at that. I like the fact you've got access to that. You're almost like a... Like if we did our research before we did these podcasts.
44. 12th of September, 1980.
44. So let's say he's potentially got still 10 good years or somewhere around that. It seems to be the way. Does he win one? You'd be hard pushed to say no. Clearly,
I think it's really interesting when this topic comes up. And the more I work in punditry, the more this has changed. Because a lot of the time, people look at past to dictate the future. And it's not. We should be looking at the present to dictate the future. The present right now is Dave Chisnell's winning the European Tour, which means he is one of the elite players in the world, so of course he can go and win one. A lot of the time people look at past and go, well, he's had his opportunity, he's not going to win one from now. You can't make that judgment because he's still winning and he's still playing competitively at a high level. Now, the reason I say you can't use the past to judge the future is Nathan Aspinall lost his tour card.
Yes.
Without qualifying for any major event. He went on the Challenge Tour for a year. Now, if you would have asked me, the year Nathan Aspinall was on the Challenge Tour, do you think Nathan Aspinall is going to win a TV major? You'd turn around and go, no, he's just lost his tour card. He's on the Challenge Tour now. And within 2 years, he was the UK Open champion and playing in the Premier League.
Yeah.
When Luke Littler lost at the Super Series to Sebastian Bielecki, I covered the game, and he broke his run of wins. If someone was to say in 2 months' time he's going to play in the World Championship final, you'd say absolutely no chance. So yeah. It's so hard to predict the future. So what we need to do is need to look at guidance. What can we see right now? And right now, what we can see is Dave Chisnell is still very competitive at the elite around the trophy and the winner's enclosure. So can he win one? Yes, absolutely he can. Do I think he will? I don't. But
so do you know what I think his best bet is? Grand Slam. I've known Dave a long time. Dave's capable of 100 averages, but he's also capable of 80. Grand Slam, you can lose a game. You can still win it.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the one. Or, I was going to say players. Players champs that Nicholson won back in the day. That's your other good bet, I think. I think once you get into... And it's probably a silly thing to say, because he's made the... I don't think he's made world final, but he's made world semis. That's long format. I think shorter format suits Chizzy. Hence, Euro Tours. Best of 11 all the way through. Bang, there you go, done. Taking the trophy out. Five in the last 2 years. So shorter format or the ability to chuck in a ropey game but still win it. So Grand Slam. There's my tip. Get your money on. Dave Chisnell for this year's Grand Slam.
Interesting you say that. Because I'm looking at Dave Chisnell's best results. So, I mean, you'd think as a pundit with a great database or something, wouldn't you, in front of me? But, yeah, so I've got access to all data, best runs, everything like that. Now, I'm looking at Dave Chisnell's best TV performances and his worst. His best TV performances have come in the Grand Slam, runner-up, have come in the Players' Championship Final, runner-up, the Masters, runner-up, all short format sort of styles. The UK Open, again, short format, quick hit games, on, off sort of style. Where he struggled the most, and this might be where you're onto something, is the World Match Play. He's only ever reached the quarterfinal stage in the amount of times that he's had, and that's long format games. So, yeah, I think maybe if he's going to win one, you might be onto something in regards to that short format.
Watch this space. Who knows? This year's Grand Slam. You never know. It's coming up. It's not long. He's in form.
I mean, to be fair, I did play him in the Players' Championship Finals myself, and I think I went like 2-0 up, and then I'm like, come on, yeah, it was only a race to six. I'm all right. I think it was 6-2. So,
talking of the World Series that's coming up, Wessel's qualified, who we spoke about on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. Wessel Nyman from Mission has qualified for the World Series Finals. That'd be interesting to see.
I'm looking forward to when I get someone on the telly.
Yeah. Different
feel up there. Obviously, I know you haven't felt it, you know, so... but
Just once.
It's a different
that
feel.
That was enough.
You feel heavy. It's weird. It's a weird way to describe it.
Not anymore for you. You're wasting away these days, mate.
Slimming down a bit. Slimming down. Toning up.
You're doing well. You're doing well. You're getting ready. Lakeside will be coming soon. You'll be ready. Anyway,
when we started these podcasts, so we're like 15 minutes. Now we're an hour.
Are we really?
No, 57 minutes, 51 seconds.
Anything else you wanted to talk about other than admiring the fact my headphones have stayed in the entire time?
Do you know what, Andrew? 58 minutes a year is enough for 1 week.
Is that enough? We'll be back next week with episode 6. Thanks, everybody, again, for watching or listening. Whatever you're doing, hit the subscribe. And we'll be back next week with more Matt Edgar-isms. That's the one.
I might even bring some Jolly Ranchers.
See you later.